On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, it is Tulane Tuesday and is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. The head football coach of the Green Wave, John Sumrall. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
I appreciate y'all having me. Hope everything's going well.
Doing great, Coach. Man, I'm driving to do LSU pregame, and so I get a phone call, and you guys were up, 7-0. And then, I'm talking, and I get, man, next thing you know, I'm like, man, what the hell did I miss? Sometimes you draw up a game plan that you say, man, it's not everything perfect, but it's pretty close. At halftime, with a 31-7 lead, we talked about this last week, so many experienced players on that South Florida football team, you had to be impressed with your team's focus, detail was there, and the execution out on the field.
Yeah, we were playing a really quality team. South Florida, I think I shared this with y'all last week, but they had, on that roster, they got out of their 22 offensive, defensive starters, they got 16 seniors. They got four other juniors, so they're really only playing two guys that aren't upperclassmen, and it's a group that's really kind of helped that program ascend. And it was the opening game for conference play for us. We felt like we had played good in spurts as a team, but had not played anywhere near a complete game up to this point in the year. And it was really gratifying to see our guys just go out and execute at a really high level and sustain that level of play for four quarters. It wasn't perfect. There's plenty of things to clean up. But all things said, it was a really complete performance by our guys. And hopefully gave us a glimpse of what the future looks like the rest of this year. We got to keep going and stay focused to getting better every day.
We saw it. A lot of people have asked me about, man, when is Mario Williams going to break out? Okay, you got it. Four catches, 94 yards, two touchdowns. Dante Fleming, seven catches, 128, scored a touchdown, averaged over 18 yards a catch. So, man, your two playmakers out on the edge, they came through big time.
Yeah, it's great to see both those guys get their first touchdowns in a Tulane uniform. Now, I didn't realize Dante had not scored at Tulane, to be quite honest with you, after the game. I wasn't here last year, so I didn't see how the season went in that regard for him. But man, both those guys have worked incredibly hard. They're both gifted kids, and it's been fun to watch them really execute at a high level. Mario's had some big games receiving. Like, he had, I think, five or six catches for about 120 yards against Kansas State. He had pretty good numbers against Southeastern Louisiana. But both those guys, for Mario to score two touchdowns and for Dante to score and have the numbers he had, just a terrific day for both those guys. Really explosive pass game for our offense Saturday.
Darian Mintz, okay, you're going to go through the growing pains with any young quarterback. Sometimes he's looking like a redshirt freshman. Didn't look at that Saturday, man. When you 18 of 22 for 326, and I think the most important stat, zero interceptions. And so you have to be proud. You see the progress with him weekly, and there's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster ride with him. He's a young quarterback. Man, he's got so much potential as a player for you, Coach.
Yeah, we're watching him grow up right in front of our eyes, man. It's a lot of fun to have a front row seat for watching him develop and take the steps he's taken. He's a, he's a really driven kid. He's an intelligent kid. He's got great instincts and awareness. He's a tremendous teammate and leader. Guys sort of gravitate towards him. And he's playing good football. I think you're seeing a guy, I think he's got 9 touchdowns in a year and maybe that right now he's protecting the ball better, and it's fun watching him do his thing. I think he's got, I think he's only going to get better and better as it continues to go. But really excited about the growth he's making, and it was fun watching him put on a show. The quarterback on the other side last week was a nationally known guy and a really highly touted guy for good reason, but we felt like we had our guy was going to be more than good enough to go win the game, and he did a great job.
On the defensive side of the football, Gerard Henderson coming through for you. He's just a sophomore from I think it's Spring, Texas, if my memory is right on him.
But that's
He, almost like he was more in the backfield than some of the running backs for South Florida.
Yeah, I tell you what's great about G. You know, when I got here in December and I started to get to know all the players and kind of studied who they were, and I found out, hey, who's done well in school, who hadn't done well in school, who's done well in the field, who needs to grow. Like, as it, you evaluate it, the feedback on G was, you know, hadn't done great maybe in the classroom, hadn't really shown anything on the field yet. And me and him sat down and said, hey, man, it's time to go. Like, we ain't got time to be wasting here. You got to grow fast and let's mature. And I kind of put him on a shot clock. You know, I said, hey, it's time to let's go shoot here. And so he really had a great spring. He did a good job in a classroom this spring academically, and then he also was doing a good job in spring practice and flashing and making some plays. And one of the greatest things I could say about G, you know, the way we operate here, we do some good on good periods even during the season in practice. We don't just practice only against scout teams. And when we do go against look teams, we usually send the twos for one side of the ball, so the ones for a few plays, just so it's not all looks versus young guys, redshirt guys. Like, you're going to get a real look from a D lineman if you're an O lineman on the offense. And so early in the year, game one, our scout team player of the week, I call them job takers of the week. That's what we nickname it here. We call it a job taker of the week, is the guy that performed the best on the look team. He was the look team player of the week, or the job taker of the week, week one against Southeastern Louisiana. Fast forward to game five, and he's the defensive player of the game for our team and the defensive player of the week for our conference. And so, such a testament to a guy just continuing to put his head down, continuing to work. You know, I talk to our guys all the time, like, know your role for the week. Embrace your role for the week and be a star in your role for the week. And if you want your role to grow and you do that, your role will grow. Well, that's proof in the pudding right there. Like, the guy was on the look team a month ago, and now he's conference player of the week defensively and for our team. And it's just such a testament to his hard work and his commitment to just continuing to get a little bit better every day.
Coach, you kind of challenged the defense last week after that game against UL, and I think they responded obviously very well, holding a good USF team to 10 total points, but also 201 total yards, only 10 first downs. The defense had two turnovers as well, but then the rushing defense as well, which is something I think that you kind of highlighted too after that UL game, holding USF to only 26 total rushing yards in that contest. I mean, you had to be proud with their effort after you kind of challenged them last week.
Well, yeah, you know, that's a team, they ran for 206 yards versus Alabama. All right, and to hold them to 26 is a tremendous effort. And I had not been pleased with the level we had played on defense. I had left no secret about that, been very outspoken about that. And, you know, like you said, they had 201 yards of offense. Well, 51 of those yards came on one play. And so you take that play out, we're sitting there going, all right, we gave up 150, you know. And really just so proud of the way our defense responded. We can't get complacent over there. You know, you got to stay hungry and play the game with a chip on your shoulder on the defensive side of the football all the time. In this game, you get every few days to get exposed or promoted. And if we don't come back with the same edge, the same focus and intensity, we'll get our butts handed to us real fast. So I'm really excited about the growth that group made last week, and they got to keep going.
Looking ahead to further AAC play, Coach, I mean, your schedule, it's just starting to get ramped up, obviously, and up next you have UAB, a 1-3 squad, but you're playing on the road. I mean, what can you kind of tell us about the Blazers early on?
Well, going on the road in conference is always hard. I don't care what the other team's record is. Another thing I'll say, you know, if you didn't tell me their record, I just turned on the tape, I just watched the players play, the athletes. Man, this is a team that's got good athletes. They got great speed at the receiver, number zero, number one, number eight, all three of those guys. They could all play for us. I mean, they can all run. The backs are all physical and downhill. The quarterback's the leading passer in the history of the UAB football program. The O-line's a very veteran group, got a bunch of juniors and seniors on it. And the tight ends are both seniors as they play. So, you know, like I said, they got three seniors starting on the offensive line and two juniors. So offensively, they're experienced and they're talented. And then defensively, they've loaded up with a bunch of transfers. And you look across the board on defense, they're starting several juniors and seniors on that side of the ball too. So they're a veteran team, much like the team last week was veteran. It's a group that you know, I showed the scoreboard to our guys from last year's game, coming into last year's game, Tulane versus UAB. Tulane at the time had 3 wins, which we have right now. And UAB had 1 win, which they have right now. And in the second quarter, late in the second quarter here at home, the score was UAB 20, Tulane 7. And with about 2 minutes left in the game, the score was Tulane 28, UAB 23. It wasn't like some big blowout. You know what I mean? It was a dogfight. And then you look forward to this year. They go to Arkansas, and they're up 17-3 at one point. All right? It's 30-27 and late in the fourth quarter in that game. So these guys are talented, man. If we don't bring our A game, we're going to get embarrassed. And our guys got to, you know, refocus real fast and understand the challenge in front of you. You got to earn it every week. Nobody's going to give you anything. So our guys, I think they're ready for the challenge, but it's going to be a challenge. It ain't going to be a cakewalk.
Coach, one of the things we brought up before the season was about your secondary, because you lost some key people there from a year ago, and that has really matured into a really good group for you at both cornerback and safety. Maybe a little bit about their growth on the defensive side of football, because when you lose key people like that to graduation or to the NFL, okay, everybody's next man up. Well, the next man ain't as talented, you know, sometimes. You know, yeah. Hey, I hear it all the time. Next man up. Yeah, okay, that's great in the locker room and all that, but it ain't the real world. Your thoughts on, you see the maturity now with your secondary and them really stepping up their play from early in the year?
Yeah, you know, I like the talent we had coming into the year. I didn't like the experience. We lacked experience back there. Bailey DeSpaney Slim, who's from Karen Crow, he was our only returning starter on the back end of our defense. Everybody else is brand new, haven't played football here really very much. And so, you know, that group, we're playing 4 or 5 guys at corner, 4 or 5 guys at safety every game. And then we've played 3 different guys at nickel. Now we've got guys that are the primary starter each week, but we've been rolling guys in to make sure that we're keeping guys fresh and allowing them to play full speed and keeping them healthy. And that group's maturing. They're getting better each week, I think. Still got a long way to go, but I like the direction they're headed. It's been fun to watch those guys step up and really kind of come into their own and get better with the experience they're getting. So we need those guys to continue to grow.
Coach, not only experience, but, you know, in almost 40 years doing this, a lot of it is communication today, okay? Because if you haven't played as a unit together, sometimes, you know, teams will do things, a lot of crossing stuff, to try to confuse, you know, your secondary a little bit, and they haven't communicated because they haven't played with one another. They have no experience with one another at all. Kind of tell everybody listening about how important communication is. Certainly it is across the offensive line at the linebacker position, but also in the secondary, because you get so many different looks today.
No, you're dead on. Well, I was talking earlier today about the number of different offenses you see. And on the back end, you know, you have to communicate all the way across the board. We play in a match coverage. We play in a zone coverage. We play in a match coverage that could become a zone coverage or vice versa based upon the action and the splits and the motions and, you know, alerting certain things. And probably the least appreciated thing it takes to be really good on defense is high-level pre-snap communication. I think the average fan probably doesn't quite understand the amount of pre-snap communication that has to go into playing really high-level defense. We played Oklahoma a few weeks ago, and I showed some of the guys. I'm like, guys, this is why they're good on defense. When you watch them, you can tell they've been in the same defensive structure for the second year now, or third year now, I should say. This is year 3 of that system they're in, because you watch them pre-snap, and they're communicating at an elite level. And that's what great secondaries do. They communicate across the board based upon the split or the spacing or the motion about what's coming and what we're adjusting to. And so that comes with, you know, experience and time on task and playing together. You don't get that with just kind of sitting in a meeting room and maybe going through a few practices. You got to go get challenged against another team and kind of learn on the fly a little bit. And so they're communicating at a much better level, and I think covering things better for sure.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights, and good luck this weekend against UAB.
Thank you, guys. Roll wave.
All righty. Thank you, Coach. That was Tulane head football coach John Summerall. His Tulane Tuesday was brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com.